Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, good Sunday morning. All right, you know, we're in an incredible phase right now of this year. It's Memorial Day. It's just incredibly hard to imagine a year ago what Memorial Day would be like. Memorial Day weekend would be like this weekend. And it's pretty much the same in a lot of ways, of course, the spirit. What we've done in the past marries with what we want to do today. And, you know, it's got to be edited down a bit. And Washingtonians, thank goodness, for the most part, more than the most part, are doing incredible things to keep things under, you know, under a certain level, under a certain number, under a certain level. No new cases, which is incredible news, as far as like any surges. There are more, you know, positive cases based on available testing that's happening right now. But for the most part, people are doing the right thing. Now, there's going to be no question that sometimes during the holiday season, when you're inside, when you're in quarantine mania, and you're in your house or your compound, you can, you know, do pretty much what you want to do as far as like partying and getting in a, you know, a fun mood with your family. If you have roommates and you've all been quarantined together, you know, partying. So it's the same spirit here every day, every time Memorial Day comes along. It's the beginning officially of the summer. So we want to make it fun and we want to make it pleasant. Put the politics aside right now and just think about your safety and your safety of your friends and family, and think about how important it is, because on Memorial Day we memorialize people who have fought for freedom and different ideals, pretty much centered around taking care of fellow people, whether you want to call it world people, Americans. Memorial Day signifies that remembering our parents and our grandparents and brothers and sisters who fought a really hard fight during our military service, and police service. But today I want to really honor all the families and all the ones that we've lost over the last couple of months, because this Memorial Day today is like no other Memorial Day, certainly in our lifetime, that we'll ever experience, where we have had more reason and more necessity to memorialize and take care of people. So hopefully we'll remember that as we realize that none of these lives were taken in vain. Thank God that there's an absolute thankfulness and appreciation and love on this Memorial Day for the ones that have fallen. When they actually, I never like to use that word fallen, when they say fallen heroes, because to me, you're never fallen. You're standing. Your spirit, your memory, who you are as a person, who you were during your lifetime, never falls. And I think that word unsung hero is probably going to disappear too, because I think we got to sing for all our heroes. No question. So as the doors open, as the window shades and the curtains get pulled back a little bit, and as the windows get cracked and a little fresh air seeps into your room right now, go ahead and open the door if you can. Let some of the air in. Let's all sort of be outside together. Talking to a couple of different people who have been longtime restaurateurs in Skagit Valley in Washington State. It's pretty amazing that the things that people have actually done over the last couple of months to hopefully prepare themselves for business reopenings. Now, a lot of it's interesting. It's like in two phases. Many restaurants have tried to stay open for takeout since day one, and they've been operating, you know, with a skeleton crew and just, you know, supplying lots of takeout, and that has been a blessing for so many restaurants and some workers, and meaning, you know, the place has been able to hang in there. And some restaurants that sadly have had to close, and in some unfortunate times permanently, but you're starting to see a trickle now of the takeout and the to-go preparation paying off, and more businesses are starting to open their doors that were closed during. So now we're having the ones that have stayed open for takeout, carryout, delivery, joined by their fellow restaurants who now feel confident enough that they can open. And during that course, some people have moved their dining rooms out on the sidewalk. I've seen that. And there's been a couple of thoughts about closing the streets down for a certain amount of hours a day in the summer season so that traffic is limited and some of the restaurants can go ahead and pull out their tables and chairs spread 10 feet or 12 feet away and be able to have their dining room be outside, which will leave the elements outside, so to speak, and wearing masks and protection and separation, they could continue opening up, say, their outdoor dining rooms. Because in order to open up the indoor dining rooms, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a cost, and either way, it's going to happen for a while, but some restaurants are trying to figure out if they'll be able to afford, you know, $5,000 to $8,000, $10,000 right now to build plexiglass dividers and hang curtains. And so some people have been putting different tabletops on table bases to make bigger, larger tables. Even though it'll be a two-person table or a four-person table, they've almost doubled to triple the size of that actual table, so people can maintain that distance. And during the last couple of months, sadly, some places have closed down, and we don't know, and they may or may not know, but we don't know the schedule of some of your places that you go to on a regular basis. So there's like a two-stage reopening plan, you know, this phase two, as they call, partial opening of restaurants. A lot of people have reworked their menus, their dining areas, to prepare for whatever this new ability to serve customers is going to look like. And under the four-phase like reopening plan, like restaurants would have to limit their dining rooms to 50% capacity and limit the tables to a maximum of 4 to 5 people. 4 to 5 people, hopefully, they've been quarantined together. And then the tables 6 to 10 feet apart. So it's an adjustment. Now, even though technically it's phase two, it's supposed to start in about 8 days or so, 7 days. It was said this Friday that some people are realizing that some of the cases are maintaining high, and if certain areas have those cases increasing, then the phase two thing will be held back. So that's really what's going on for restaurants. The overview is that if you're a food service worker and you haven't been in regular touch with your former employee, hopefully they've gotten in touch with you if they want you to report back to work. And you also have the right and the need to call if you haven't heard from them, just to, so you can sort of prepare as to what's going on. And also figure out if you feel it's a safe enough environment for you. Because, for instance, I have a couple of food worker friends that have had to bunk up with their folks and grandparents right now. So they've all been quarantined together. But if I'm a chef or a cook and I'm with my grandparents, which I'm not, but I wish I was sometimes, I'd have to go in to work and basically be exposed and then go back to home. So that's not going to be a perfect scenario for a lot of workers. So, all right, so these are the rules. If you're 60 plus, you're home. You're not going back to work, even if you've been doing it forever. If you are somebody who lives or takes care of family or children, or have grandparents or great uncles or brothers and sisters that are in that category that you live with, then you're going to have to double check for sure. And of course, let your restaurant know and explain that what the reality is as far as you commuting back and forth every day and then going home to the quarantine house. Now, science tells us it's not a safe, ideal situation to commute like that. And of course, our mass amount of information thrown at us, married with spring is over and summer is coming, we get a little restless. Combine that with 2 months of cabin fever, and we may have let our guard down a little bit. And I would spend a few minutes, and I know that many of our listeners are doing that. They're weighing it. I'm not trying to enlarge the situation and give anybody anything, you know, sad to worry about. But since we do have an extra day, so to speak, you know, it's Memorial Day, we have today and tomorrow, most places are closed down, even the essential places. It's a good time to just relax, enjoy what we're doing, and think about, you know, some of the options and make yourself a little bit of a list that starting Tuesday you can make calls and check in as to what you're going to be doing. Now, in our area, there's all kinds of jobs available. I've been so happy to see that in the sense that there's a lot of help wanted in a lot of different levels. And some of those might not put a food worker in a situation where they might, you know, be exposed. So if you're debating it, look into that. There's a lot of listings happening every day. And moderate forms of that, baristas, some prep people in the food service packing industry a little bit, delivery, supermarkets are looking for people, and some of the delis are, deli departments and the meat departments. So, you know, there are some things out there that you might be able to adjust, maybe do something that might put your home situation a little bit less exposed. So much going on. In line with that, you know, going on the other side, some of the restaurants are starting to do the, put barriers up and changing the way you go in and out of restaurants. But some people say the reality that if they can't get their capacity up to 75% by July, it's going to be tough to pay the staff, continue to pay the staff. You know, they've gotten paycheck protection loans in some places. They brought most of the staff back. There was an option that they would have more time for the money to be used because evidently some part of the paycheck protection thing is you only have a certain amount of time that you can use it for help, you know, for payroll or for some cases rent and utilities to keep the place open. they wanted to extend that to 24 weeks as opposed to 8 weeks, which makes sense. So therefore, some of the staff can collect unemployment for a little bit longer, and then the money can be used to start paying them when they come back to work. But kind of defeats the system, because the whole idea of the Paycheck Protection Loan is for that money immediately to fall into the hands of staff. In some cases, some of the staff are collecting unemployment as well as getting the paychecks, extra paychecks from work, as well as getting the extra $600, and they're making more money right now than they would if they were just doing their single job at full time at one restaurant. So it's a very interesting economic balancing act that's going to happen. And there are all laws to protect certain people, but when it comes to money and when it gets time for this kind of stuff, that's when the energy gets a little thick, and that's when the tension rises. And there's already a little bit of tension and stress in the air based on the fact that a lot of people don't really know what's going to happen with their jobs and everything else. One restaurant built an outdoor kitchen and limited seating, and that's their plans for the second phase, because they really realize that trying to think about opening and getting back up to speed even by midsummer is going to be tricky. So they decided to build an outdoor kitchen and an outdoor dining room with incredible, you know, seating that's very far apart, a waiting area, a drive-up area. It's all sort of like, take a number, please. And they'll put in, you know, three or four families at a time. And they think about 50% of those people will go back to their cars and eat in their cars. They have a huge parking area for about 50 or 60 cars, I believe. So that's a whole other thought. But that's my idea about the fact, talking about closing the, not my idea, but my talking about that idea that I've heard that they're looking for certain hours to close down the street in downtown Anacortes. Now, in Europe, they do that all the time. Starting about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they close 3 to 4 o'clock, they close down to 10 o'clock at night. And literally every restaurant has it's outdoor, everybody's outdoor. And then they think, okay, but if there's 10 restaurants on a block and there's 150 people within a one-block radius outside, all sitting in their different dining areas, how safe is that? A lot of things to think about. But you know what? There's all so many smart and brilliant and creative people. The ideas are incredible. So with the, with that, this change comes more expenses. Like some restaurants that never thought about it before literally have gone out, either built or bought outdoor tables and seating, things like that, invested in that. Or, you know, in Washington State, if you have a small restaurant that has outdoor seating, you know that you leave that patio open as long as you can, and then kind of by the end of, you know, September, early October, it starts shutting down. And then maybe we'll open up periodically for a holiday if the weather's good, but for the most part, all the seating and chairs get covered up with tarps and chained to the wall and given a kiss goodbye and saying, we'll see you in April. But now that's changing. That look is changing. Remember, it's also a lot of work to take the stuff and move it back inside. Is there going to be clearance on the street for emergency vehicles? You know, 100 things to think about. But there's no other choice. In order to keep everybody going, employed, and not have an absolute negative economy for all of us on a monthly basis because we can't catch up with, you know, the bills and stuff, this is what we have to be thinking about. It's hard for some of these people to get new equipment, even thermometers and temperature checks. Those digital thermometers and temperature guides are getting harder and harder to get. There's more inventory created and coming, but just to get the temperature checks and the wipes and the masks and the gloves and the protective gear for a small restaurant to have to put up about $8,000 to $10,000 of that money that they get just to make sure they can sell maybe 50% of their capacity. Anyway, it's a lot of thinking, but I bring it up so you can all have this conversation with your coworkers and your friends. And out of this, like I played the interviews with the food truck people I did, and there's more of that to come as well. And a general consensus, even before the pandemic, was that some places decided, okay, we're going to go for a truck. We're going to put everything on a truck, the restaurant on a truck. We are going to operate it like the flagship restaurant, our former place, brick and mortar, was. But we're going to take control of the rent and the utilities that we were having to pay and a bigger staff. So I say that I know some that have already started to be created, that there are some people putting their heads together, maybe three or four people from a restaurant. Let's all invest, part of our stimulus and see if we can get a trailer and make our restaurant portable and see if we can go through something like that. And I love hearing those stories. So that's another conversation you can have over the next couple of days. See what I'm saying? There's all kinds of possibilities. You just have to figure it out by talking about it. All right, let's take a little bit of a break and play a little bit of musica for you all. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Here comes the sun, I say it's all right.
Feel that sun starting to poke through. All right, we covered our stuff. I really appreciate everybody listening. We are hoping for a really, really good day today for everybody. Take a load off. Try not to go too far out into the world so you don't have to deal with the stress of the mask and the crowds. But if you do, just be safe. I'll be back tonight at 10 o'clock. We are going to kick it up on this evening, Sunday. Be safe out there. Have fun. Do something that makes you happy. Play some music. Call some friends, maybe somebody that you haven't seen for a while. Let them know how you're doing. See how they're doing. It's always really fun. All right, we're going to cook some sauce today as well, some gravy. Been having so much fun with just prepping dough and making a lot of different dough over the last couple of days. Getting ready to fire up that oven tomorrow. Text and called a couple of people I know and said, look, I haven't seen you guys in a while, and I know we still have to sort of be isolated, but if you come over at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I am going to have a little box for you. And in that box is going to be some beautiful eggplant parmesan and a small Neo pizza. So it's a pizza and eggplant parmesan delivered for some good friends tomorrow. You know who you are. Everybody keeps telling me a story. You really need to just start doing it. You know, I have a perfect place to do it. Of course, I have my beautiful little Fornaio oven from Italy. House of tomatoes. It's just about starting to take. These guys are different this year because I started them from seed. And it's taken a little bit longer, but I feel like I've baby these guys for pretty much the whole quarantine. I actually started getting the seeds ready about the 18th of March. And finally, over the last couple of days, they're now outside, sitting in the dirt. So I'm excited about that. Other than that, I hope that you'll keep in touch with me by writing me at Chef Gerardo, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. A couple of people have also asked, what happened to the Quarantinomania dedicated show? Well, guess what? For early birds, it's 7:30 tomorrow morning is 30 minutes of Quarantinomania, which is a totally recap of some really, really good things that you can spend some time looking at and listening to. Some local films, some local artists, some really, really historic footage. And see it now rather than wait 50 years to be in some museum in a little kiosk sometime. It's really kind of pretty much the month of May in review. And I think they'll enjoy everything from several sightings of the International Space Station to two sightings of the Starlink satellites to incredible sunsets and rainbows to, I would say, a good 24 new original music pieces. Especially some of the great ones from Rhonda E., that she's been doing some really good stuff. And so, stuff to look forward to. Alrighty. Alright, let's go out on the new soundtrack for our show. I'm using it right now because it gives people a chance to listen and give me feedback. It's also the song soundtrack, the instrumental version of Quarantine Caravan, which is a video I've been working on, which is started out as almost 35 minutes, and I'm trying to get it down to about 15 or 16 minutes, and it's getting close. I might have to have part one and part two. A few people have seen some of the footage, say, hey, I can watch that for 2 hours, so don't worry about it, but I want to keep it interesting and exciting. I'll be talking more about that on tonight's show. So tune back in at 10 o'clock. I will be here. Thanks for listening to Chef Gerardo. Have a great day.
Thank you.